Now I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. I'm staring at an empty grave. And the stone that you rolled away. When I was blind, so you saw sun. When I left the night, you saw the one. And just like that, all my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace.
Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. Good to have you here on this chilly Sunday morning. But I got a feeling it's pretty warm in here, right? And I'm not talking about the temperature. Libby and I love coming to Grace Point Church. We come here because we love Grace Point Church. I know I'm one of the staff members. But if I wasn't, and there was somebody else up here as good as me, I'd come to Grace Point Church just for the fellowship. God's been good. I want to read a verse for you before we pray. It comes from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 12. And it says, compete in the good fight of faith. Almost doesn't sound like biblical words. Compete, fight. The emphasis here we're going to focus on today is faith. Compete in the good fight of faith. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for allowing us again to be here at Grace Point Church. Thank you, Lord, that you've brought these folks out today for worship, for fellowship, to hear a word from you, to sing your praises, and to make decisions as you work in our lives and as you work in the life of our church. God, help us to indeed compete in the good fight. It's a good fight when we fight for faith, to grow in our faith and to have our church to grow in our faith as well. So bless our time with your presence. Speak to us as we worship you in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So I can testify that I'm not the same. Why? Because Jesus changed my life. Amen. Amen. You might recognize this guy up here on the screen. His name is James Dyson. He invented the Dyson vacuum cleaners. Anybody here use a Dyson? Oh, really? I'm impressed. They must be pretty good. This man today is worth $9.7 billion. Not million. $1 billion. But he didn't get that way overnight. It went through different phases. They had to discuss what the problem needs to be solved. They talked about possible solutions, what hasn't been done, what was done and didn't work. They had ideas. They had to go through testing. They had to figure out a way to bring it to market. The cost involved, the investors involved, the prototypes. James Dyson went through 5,127 different prototypes over the course of 10 years before he brought his first vacuum cleaner to market. He went through phases to get to where he is now. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen all at once. We're in a series of messages. The series is Living in Faith. Today we're going to be talking about how God builds my faith. You know how God builds our faith? Through phases. When you become a Christian, when you were born again, whenever you gave Jesus control of your life, you were not instantly and forever, totally, absolutely changed at that moment. It happens through different phases that we go through. He takes us through six phases. And then we can understand better what's going on in our lives, and we're less likely to get discouraged because we'll realize what phase of faith building God has us in. And when that happens, we learn to cooperate with God instead of fight against Him. So how does God build my faith? Now, if you have your outline, if you have your bulletin, take the outline out. You can follow along with us. You can fill some blanks in as we go along. How does God build my faith? So we're going to look at the six phases of faith. The first one is this. God builds your faith, and it all starts with a dream. It starts with a dream. Nothing happens in your faith building until you start dreaming. You get an idea, you get a vision, you get a goal, you get an ambition. You've set your sights on some target that God has led you to. And God wants to work in your life, and when He does, He always gives you a dream. It may not be just this big, huge dream. Maybe it's just a small dream, but He gives it to you nonetheless. He gives you a dream about yourself, about what He wants you to be doing, about the impact for which He's going to use you in your life in this world. And it's the same thing for our church. God gives our church a dream, a vision of the direction He wants us to be headed in. Now, there are all kinds of examples of this in the Bible. For instance, God gave Noah the dream of building an ark. God gave Abraham the dream of being the father of a great nation. He gave Joseph the dream of being the leader to save His people. He gave Nehemiah the dream of building a wall around Jerusalem to protect it. He gave David the dream of building the temple. Nothing happens until you start dreaming. Now, the question is, how do you know when a dream is from God and it's not from yourself? How do you know when God is giving you a dream and it's not the bad seafood you had the night before? Look what it says in Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do far more than we would dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. You know a dream is from God because a dream from God will require faith. A dream from God can be so big that you can't ever imagine accomplishing it on your own. A dream from God for our church can be enormous, and we might sit back and say, there's no way. And if we get a dream that big, we know it's from God. We know it's from Him. How does God build your faith? It starts with a dream. Secondly, God builds your faith when you decide to do something about your dream. It's one thing to get a dream. It's another thing to do something about it. Because nothing is going to happen until that dream, when you wake up and you put it into action. You've got to make that decision. I'm going to go for it. But the fact is, for every 10 dreamers out there, there's usually only one decision maker, only one who actually acts on it. In phase two, you need to make the decision to act, to go for it. Look at James 1:6 and verse 8. James said, "You must believe and not doubt. A double-minded man is unstable in all he does." Folks, faith is a verb. It's active, not passive. It's something you do. Decision-making is a faith-building activity. And during this phase, you need to do two things. First, you must invest. Now, I'm going to give you four things you need to invest in if you're going to become a person of faith. First of all, you invest in your time. You invest in your money. You invest in your reputation. And you invest in your energy. Phase two is an investment stage. It's the time you decide to do what God wants you to do. You lay it on the line. You take the plunge. God, you wake up and say, God, you've led me to this, and I'm finally going to go for it. No more sitting on the sidelines. It's time to get into the game. What is it that God wants you to do? Decide to do something about your dream. You must invest. And then number two, you must also let go of your security. I know everyone in here is at least teenage age. Most of us are older, some older than others, some really old. We're glad you're here. We've got to let go of security. We feel comfortable with security, right? I have what I need. My needs are being met. I'm able to enjoy some parts of my life, and I'm nice and secure here. I'm comfortable here, right? If you want to be a person whose faith is built, whom God can use, we need to learn to let go of our security. You cannot move in faith and hold on to the past at the same time. You've got to move forward. You've got to let go. Abraham, God said to me, he said to Abraham, he said, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. Abraham had to leave his land where he was comfortable, where he had all the riches he could ever want. He had to leave it all behind to fulfill God's dream for his life. Moses had to let go of the probability of him moving to Pharaoh's position when he died. Moses let go of it in order to do God's will. Nehemiah gave up a secure job in order to build a wall around Jerusalem. You need to let go of your security. A great example of this is the trapeze artist. We've all seen them, if not in person, at Ringling Brothers. We've seen them on TV. They swing out on bars, and then they let go. And I'm like, well, that's pretty stupid. Just hold on. They swing out, and they let go, and for a moment, they have nothing that supports them. Nothing. Until that other bar comes over and they grab it. They swing out. Now, if you never let go of that first bar, you know what happens. You just keep on swinging, except you don't swing back as far as when you left, so you can't get back to the platform, and you swing out and you swing. And you swing, and it slows down, and you hold on. And then you have nowhere to go but down. God says, let go. Have you ever been in a career, and God says, let go, and you're like, man, I don't even know where I'm going. God said, that's okay, I'll take care of you, let go. Sometimes you have to let go of security. And that's the same thing for our church. I'm really secure in our church right now. I like this. And we're secure in our church like now. We've got good people coming, and it's good and fun. We're doing and moving forward. I feel very secure in our church. I like it. But God's going to make us feel insecure and unsecure at some point in time. And he's going to say, here's what I want you to do. And we're going to say, we like where we are. And he's going to say, here's what I want. And we're going to need to let go of that bar. Until God meets us somewhere there, and we meet him. Let go of your security. How does God build our faith? It starts with a dream. You decide you have to do something about your dream. And then number three, realize that there may be a delay. I really should have put, there will be a delay. God doesn't always fulfill our dreams immediately. God has not promised to give you the dream today and fulfill it tomorrow. You have the dream. It's from God. We need to realize it may be a waiting period before we see God fulfill the promise he gave us. You can count on a time lapse. Habakkuk 2:3, God says this, but these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. Underline those words. Slowly, steadily, surely, slowly, it's going to take time. Steadily, there will be increments of progression, and surely it is going to happen. And in phase three, you start asking the question, when? When, Lord, when are you going to answer our prayers? When are you going to answer my prayer? You know, most of us don't like to wait. Whether it's in a doctor's office, you're in traffic jams, you're in restaurants, you're trying to buy Christmas presents. We don't like waiting in line. We don't like waiting. Sometimes we don't like waiting for God. Have you ever been in a hurry when God wasn't? You're ready and God says, wait. And we're like, no. But God wants to work on you before he works out the project. Eventually, every believer in history has to go through. Write these letters down on your outline. U-L-T-W. Every believer in history has to go through U-L-T-W, the University of Learning to Wait. And sometimes he gives you a 101 course. Sometimes he gives you the 500-level courses. And if you really want to learn to wait, he puts you in those 700-level courses. The University of Learning to Wait. Anybody want to go there? No. God says, tough. We all need to get our degree, right? Noah waited 120 years from the time he started building the ark until it began to rain. Abraham was told he'd be the father of a great nation, and he didn't even have a child until he was 99. God told Moses he would lead his people out of 400 years of slavery and then makes him wait in the desert for 40 years before it happened. Joseph spent years in prison before God raised him up and he became the ruler that God wanted him to be. God had David anointed and he was going to be king, but he waited for years until he actually got into that position. We go through waiting periods, even Jesus, who came to be the Messiah of the entire world, had to wait for 30 years until he actually started his ministry. Why do we wait? One of the reasons is it teaches us to trust in God. Listen, folks, God's timing is always perfect. One of the facts we have to learn is that delays never destroy God's purpose. A delay is not a denial. There's a big difference between no and not yet. Many times God says not yet, and we think he's saying no. A delay is not a denial. A delay never destroys God's purpose for your life. How does God build our faith? It starts with a dream. You finally decide to do something about it, there will be a delay. And number four, another one you're going to like to hear, there's going to be difficulties. Oh, joy. Not only do you get to wait, you get to have problems while you're waiting. And there are basically two kinds of problems. One are circumstantial. The others are critics. You have circumstances and critics that will make it difficult for you. Moses had difficulty. He led the children of Israel out of Egypt into the desert to the promised land. But he had a problem after that. There was no water for the people to drink. There was no food for the people to eat. And there were a bunch of complainers. There were poisonous snakes that bit many of the people out in the desert. They were doing what God wanted, but they still had problems. David was anointed king, and then for several years he was hunted down to be killed by Saul, and he had to live in caves. There were difficulties for him. Joseph had a dream of becoming the ruler. He was thrown into a well by his jealous brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused of rape. He languishes in prison for something he didn't do. He had delay after delay after delay. Imagine the difficulties Noah had. We talked about this a week or two ago. How would you like to build a floating zoo? Can you imagine? When Moses died, Joshua was then appointed to be the leader. Moses led the people across the desert. Joshua was going to lead them into the promised land. And yet when he got there, the people went down and looked and they said, hey, we can't do this because there's giants in the land. There was another delay. Why does God allow this? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. At the present, you may be temporarily harassed by all kinds of trials. This is no accident. It happens to prove your faith, which is infinitely more valuable than gold. There may be difficulties. There will be difficulties. Why? To prove, to grow, to stabilize your faith. And ultimately, that's more infinitely worth more than gold. How does God build our faith? With a dream. You decide to do something, there's going to be a delay, there's going to be a difficulty. And number five, another good one, there's going to be dead ends. Boy, we just go from one wonderful thing to another, huh? There may be, and I should have put the word, there will be dead ends. The situation deteriorates from difficult to impossible, hopeless to no way out, no alternative left. If you're in this stage, congratulations. You're in good company. Even Paul, the apostle who wrote most of the New Testament, went through dead ends. I kind of understand what a dead end is like. I don't know if many of you realize this, but I used to drive an 18-wheeler. I drove over the road, OTR, from coast to coast, east to west, north to south, north to south. And back then, when I was doing that, we had GPS, but they weren't quite as accurate as they are now. Do you remember those days? So my GPS told me to go here and drive up this hill because I had a delivery make at the top. So I did it. Took my 18-wheeler all the way up there. When I got up there, I went, oh my gosh. It was a subdivision with a round circle around the houses. And my truck is there. And I'm like, I guess I'll just go around the circle and come back out and go down. And I started going around this way, and there was a dead end. Now, it's challenging enough to drive an 18-wheeler going forward on an open highway. Now I had to back out of a subdivision, a neighborhood with a round circle. It was dicey. I at one point got up on this guy's lawn and took out a mailbox. Wouldn't you know it, he was home. Luckily, I had some cash on me, just a little payment. He was gracious. It took me about 30, 45 minutes to get out of there. It was a dead end. Look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. At that time, Paul says, we were completely overwhelmed. The burden was more than we could bear. In fact, we told ourselves that this was the end. Yet we now believe that we had this sense of impending disaster. Why? So that we might learn to trust not in ourselves, but in God who can raise the dead. Folks, if God can raise people physically from the dead, he can raise us up out of a situation when he's good and ready. He can raise a dead marriage. He can resurrect a dead career. He can resurrect a health problem. He can make it better. What do you need to be raised up out of? Ask God to do it. Now, that doesn't mean he's always going to do it. Sometimes we pray something our way, and God says, no, I have a better way. Sometimes God says, I'm going to answer, but not when you think. Sometimes God says, I'll take care of it, but in a different way than you thought I was going to do it. Don't ever think God can't get us out of dead ends, but sometimes he takes us there to teach us something. In Abraham's situation, God said, I want you to become the father of a nation. And he had to wait 99 years to have a baby. The Bible says it's gone from difficult to impossible. He looks at his body and he says, no way. Then he looks at his wife and says, double no way. No, not no. It's just it. No, no. I need faith. I'm going to walk out of here today. But when they told Sarah she was going to get pregnant, they laughed. They knew that was impossible. But she got pregnant. They laughed. And when the baby was born, they named him Isaac, which means laughter. They're saying, this is a joke in a good way. We know Sarah didn't believe God when he told her she'd have a baby because she laughed. If she really believed God was going to give her a baby at her age, she wouldn't have laughed. She would have cried. Right? God often lets problems become impossibilities so he alone can get us out and teach us what we need to learn. The disciples planned to follow Jesus. They thought he would be the Messiah. And the next thing they know, they were hanging on the cross. He was hanging on the cross and he dies. And it was a dead end for the disciples. They didn't know he was going to come back to life. And at this stage, you start asking, God, what's going on? Did I miss your will? Did I miss your vision, God? Is this just something I thought up on my own? The best example of this is when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. They were slaves there for 400 years. Finally, Pharaoh said, okay, after the 10 plagues, Pharaoh had enough. He said, I'm going to let your people go. Get out of here. They took off. But one day later, Pharaoh changes his mind and he starts coming after them. And the Israelites are at the Red Sea. They have mountains on either side of them. The Red Sea is in front of them, and the enemy is behind them. And they were going, what do we do? They're going to kill us. There was no way out. And I'm sure at that time, many people at the time complained that they should have stayed in Egypt. Now we're in a situation in which we're actually going to die. And what they were doing is they were saying, we'd rather be in bondage than where we are now. Some people would rather stay where they are, never get out of their situation, never have God work in their life, never have God want them to do something, and they'd rather just stay where they were. It's interesting. It's interesting that the place they were hemmed in was called Baal Zephon. Baal Zephon means God's hidden treasure. They were exactly where God wanted them to be. Folks, if you're in a dead end, you may be exactly where God wants you to be. God knows where you are. He's got your number. He put you in that dead end for a purpose. Maybe Grace Point, Baal Zephon, God's hidden treasure. Who knows what God has in store for us? Who would have known 3 years ago that this would even happen? Many people from Old Calvary and from Old Crossroads were just wondering, now what, God? We're in a dead end here. We feel like we're in a dead end there. Now what? And we waited, and eventually, God said, here. What's the best response to a dead end? Expect God eventually to get you out. How's God build your faith? With a dream, you decide to do something. There may be a delay. There will be difficulties. There will also be deliverance. There will be a deliverance. Eventually, God comes in. He delivers. He does some kind of miracle or miracles. God provides a solution. That doesn't mean we don't have to work hard at it. It just means that's the way that God's going to provide. In Abraham's case, he and Sarah miraculously conceived a child. In Joseph's case, all of a sudden, his dream became true, and he finds himself being the second in command in Egypt. Jesus, who was killed, was resurrected. God loves to turn crucifixions into resurrections, folks. That's what he does. Dead ends lead to deliverances. Why? Because then God gets the credit. Don't think for a minute we did this on our own. This is and was and will forever be a God thing. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:10. Paul said, "He, God, he has delivered and he will deliver us again." In Psalm 27, verse 13, it says, "I am expecting the Lord to rescue me again, so that once again I will see his goodness to me." The best response to a dead end is to wait and say, "God, now what?" Say expectantly, "God, now what? I'm waiting for you." So let's kind of apply this to ourselves. First of all, phase one. What is the dream God has given me? If you don't have a dream, start praying, "God, give me your dream." If you can't write down a dream that God has given you, if our church can't write down a dream that God has given us, then we need to be praying that God would give us that vision, that dream. Folks, you are on this earth for a purpose. When you discover that purpose, that dream that God wants you to be in, your life will be fulfilled and you will be blessing and fulfilling other people's lives as well. Phase two, what action have I taken to fulfill my dream? If I haven't taken the action step, ask God, "What do you want me to do?" Some of you have a dream from God, but you've decided not to go for it yet. You're still on the fence. God has a word for you. Go for it. Do it. Carry it out. Phase three, what has caused my dream to be delayed? You are in God's waiting room. You ever waited in a doctor's office? Your appointment was at 10, it's 3. If your prayer hasn't been answered, it's all right. Don't detour. When things don't happen on our timetable, we tend to run ahead of God, or we tend to find detours to make it happen. You may be making the worst decision of your life. Wait, wait, wait for God's hand to work. Phase four, what difficulties have I faced waiting for the dream to be fulfilled? Maybe you're being tested. If you are, it's all right. It's not going to be the last time you're going to be tested. Our church will be tested. I like it. Things are just flowing wonderful now. But I'm going to tell you right now, when God has a church like our church right now, and things are going great, and the fellowship's wonderful, and the worship is good, and we have plans for reaching out, when now that happens, it's going good, I'm going to tell you what. Satan is, I was going to say another word, he ain't happy. If you want to know the word I was going to use, it's not a bad word. It just, he's kind of, he's ticked. How's that? Is that good enough? And listen, he will come in here and start problems. And you're saying, "No, Kevin, not." I'm telling you, he will. And so when they happen, don't be surprised and don't negatively react to it. Find some folks, our pastors, other people who can help solve that, because he's going to thrill when he comes in here and tries to get us against each other or against what God's leading us to. And I will not let that happen. Neither will John. Neither will Jason. We're committed to keeping our church unified. God may be testing you. In phase five, how do I come to a dead end? Have I come to a dead end? You may be in God's cul-de-sac, just waiting. Don't give up. You're right where God wants you to be. Sometimes that'll be where our church is. We're in the cul-de-sac. We're waiting now. What's your next step? You know, people just think that the leaders of the church, whether it's paid staff or leaders here, that we should know just our next step. I don't always know. We don't always know the next step. We're just waiting in God's cul-de-sac. We know about this. I don't know where we're going next. It's okay to be there. We just hang on. We keep on believing. We don't give up. And in phase six, do I expect and trust God to deliver me? Because he will. He is faithful. May not happen overnight. You go through a dream, you go through a decision, a delay, a difficulty, a dead end, and then God comes and says, now, let me deliver you. Let me take you through these phases of faith. Let me help you grow your faith. Let me reassure you so your faith will be right where it needs to be. Where are you in your faith development? Where is Grace Point in our faith development? I want to just advertise something that is going to help you understand who we are at Grace Point, why faith is so important, and how God works. We finally, it took me a long time, but I finally got the membership class, the 101 membership class, ready. I mean, it took weeks. I asked John to preach a couple of weeks for me so I could do all this stuff out. We worked, we talked about it, I got it done. And we're going to have our first Grace Point Discovering Church membership class. And you're going to get this. And inside will be pages. Jason just got them printed for us. They're sitting right down there. And you're going to learn what it means for us to walk by faith. Listen, people have asked me, am I a member here? In theory, no. Because we went with Crossroads and we dissolved it. Calvary, we dissolved it. This is a new church and nobody's joined yet. You got to go through this if you want to be one of our members. And we want you to be a member of our church. All right? You can keep coming. You can be a regular attender the rest of your life. We don't want you to go somewhere else, but we want you to join. You'll get a notebook with paper inside. You got this in your bulletin. John's going to reference it later, too. But that all happens on Sunday, March 10th, from 4 to 6:30. We're only asking for 2.5 hours. That's it. I hope you'll be there. You don't have to pre-sign up, but I hope you've already signed up in your mind, put it on your calendar, and be there. Okay? Let's be the people God wants us to be by faith. Let's pray together. God, thank you for showing us in your word through examples, through verses, that indeed you want us to live by faith. And that as we live through faith and go through the six different phases of faith building in our lives and for our church, may you help us to wait. May you help us to be faithful. May you give us the dreams that you want for us individually in our own lives and for our church. May we work to do what it takes to fulfill those dreams, trusting that it all comes from you, but getting busy, our hands and our legs and our minds busy about doing what you call us to do. God, when we're in the cul-de-sac, help us to remain faithful and to trust you'll get us out in your way, in your timing. When difficulties come, God, just keep us faithful to you. Don't ever let us give up. But help us to fulfill the dream you have for our lives and for the life of your church, Grace Point. Now, God, have your will and your way during this time of invitation, the response time, and we'll bless your name. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. What a time to respond to God's word to you today.
All right. Well, Kevin gave me instructions during the sermon to point this out. That's right. So not only March the 10th coming up, but next Sunday is the one-year anniversary of being Grace Point. The name that we came up with for Grace Point, God gave that to us. We'll be celebrating next week. And Kevin's bringing a lot of food for right after church. Is that right, Kevin? Yes. By the way, do you need to go ahead and walk out now? You said you didn't know if you could get out after saying that something earlier. I don't know if you... But no, he better stay. He better stay. So now another thing. He pointed out that that verse early on had the word compete in it. One of my favorite words, Jason. Compete. So I've been walking around just asking. We got 8 or 9 teenagers here today, students. And we're going to look at maybe doing a little challenge, parent versus student bowling outing. What do you think about that? I think that'd be cool. Kind of kicking off, I'm thinking our youth group here at the Grace Point could be GPS. All right, Grace Point students. And you talked about GPS, yeah.
Nice.
So, we've been I've been talking and dreaming about this, right? We're talking about it. So I think that's it. Now, one other thing, next week at the anniversary, we will announce where we are on our giving for Guatemala, so don't miss out on that as well. Jonathan is actually on his way to Germany. He goes to all the countries that begin with the letter G. He's on his way to Germany on a mission, on a business trip. He'll be going to Guatemala in June. So pray for him. Safe travels. He'll be back with us next week. We will announce how much has come in. All right? Kevin, anything else? We got it? Let's pray together, and when you go out, have fun this week, and invite people back next week for the big anniversary. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time of joy, a time of challenge, and now as we go out as our dreams, we're going to see little things happen that kind of get in the way, big things that get in the way sometimes, but help us to persevere, knowing that you will deliver us with that dream that you've given to us. We thank you for that. Lord, be with us now. Watch over us as we go. We pray it in Jesus' name, and everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.